39 minutes after 4 o'clock, you got on K-Hum, Radio Without the Rules, and I was scouring the news a little earlier today, and I came across a headline that read, California death penalty unconstitutional, judge says. And there was a ruling earlier today, U.S. District Court Judge Cormac Carney, who was appointed by George Bush, ruled that the death penalty as practiced in California violates the California Constitution. And we have on the phone with us, we're very very lucky and fortunate to be joined on the phone by Gil Garcetti, who is formerly district attorney in Los Angeles County. And he's here to help us sort of explain what this decision means for California going forward. Mr. Garcetti, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
My pleasure to have the opportunity, too. Thank you.
It's a real pleasure. So what is this case about in a nutshell?
Well, the case is historic. This is, as you pointed out, a Republican presidential appointed federal court judge who said that the California law violates the federal Constitution in terms of it being cruel and unusual that the state of California has a process and procedure that guarantees that you're going to remain in prison for at least 25 years and probably longer before there's any possibility of an execution, and that is cruel and unusual. Now, what he didn't say, but I'll say, that if he thinks it's cruel and unusual punishment for the convicted killer of this horrific crime, what about it being cruel and unusual to the surviving family and friends of the victim in this case, for them to have to go through this for years and years not knowing what's going to happen? Because over 50% of all death penalty cases that go to habeas corpus and federal court proceedings are reversed or modified in some way. And so everyone has to relive this again. So what he saw is what I saw. Even though I supported the death penalty when I was district attorney, I realized that the death penalty serves no useful purpose in California. It does not serve as a deterrent. It is outrageously expensive, especially when we're laying off teachers and firefighters and police officers and others. We can find better use for the money than keeping the people on death row who will lead privileged lives as long as they're on death row. And we know they're going to die, but they die of natural causes on death row, not execution.
So one of the main rationales that the judge declared unconstitutional is just because of the time it takes for a death penalty and the uncertainty as to whether or not any individual death penalty person is going to be executed?
That's right. That was the basis for it, that California has not provided the ability to efficiently and properly handle these cases, and that doesn't mean that he is looking for an appellate review process that could be finished in 3 or 4 years. The cases that I mentioned, in which they've been modified or reversed, the average age of the case is about 15 years because it takes a lot of work and effort for the lawyers to take a look at the record, to examine it, and say, well, what did the previous lawyers do or not do? What did the police hide? What did the prosecutors hide, perhaps? All of this takes a tremendous amount of effort, and unfortunately, there are instances where all of that is found to be true.
So I had said in my preamble that the judge found that this violated California Constitution, but I had that wrong. The judge, according to you, the judge said it violates the U.S. Constitution.
Correct.
And so two questions there. First of all, what immediate implications does this have for death penalty cases currently pending in California and future ones that might want to be brought? And second, what are there any larger sort of national ramifications of a decision like this?
Sure. First of all, let me deal with the immediate ramifications. So this applies to Mr. Jones, the convicted killer, only. So other federal courts in the state of California could come to different decisions, but it's unlikely. When you read this decision, it's such a persuasively written decision, both in terms of its depth in the knowledge and the information that is brought forward to buttress the conclusion that this is simply violates the Constitution of the federal government. And I'm sure it violates, under his thinking, the California state constitution as well. What it does, now let me pause there for a second. The next step is going to be for the state attorney general to decide whether to appeal it or not. And I'm sure that'll be in some consultation with the governor, at least I hope it is. If they appeal it, it would go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal courts. If the federal court affirms the decision, then it applies throughout the state of California. The death penalty is finished in the state of California. Now, it could also be then appealed to the Supreme Court. So who knows what happens here. But if the Court of Appeals says we affirm that decision and it's not appealed, then the death penalty is no longer the law in the state of California. What it will have nationwide is, I think you see this movement. We have now 22 states in the nation that have changed their death penalty law to life without the possibility of parole. And you have three governors from the state of Washington, Colorado, and I believe it is Oregon, who on their own have declared moratoriums for various reasons. They said, we're not sure if everyone on death row deserves a death penalty. Maybe they are factually innocent, or maybe there are other issues or problems. Is there an equal application of law, as President Obama has raised that issue himself? So you have various issues raised, and when you have a Republican-appointed judge from probably the most conservative county in the state of California, Orange County, say that this violates the United States Constitution, other federal judges are going to pay attention to.
I have two sort of somewhat related questions. First of all, I realize it's probably difficult, especially at this early date, to make any predictions. But would you expect the Attorney General to appeal this?
I can't say. I don't know what is in Ms. Harris's mind. She may or may not. I mean, if she does not appeal it, then it applies only to this case.
Would it be? I'm terribly sorry to interrupt. Would it be something that someone in a different death penalty case in California could cite? I mean, if a judge has made a finding that it violates the cruel and unusual.
Oh, sure.
I mean, wouldn't that be have some precedential value?
Well, it won't have any precedent value, but they could cite it as I said. Look at this judge, a Republican-appointed judge from a conservative county who's concluded this. We have the same issues here in our county, whichever county it is in the state of California. And we ask you to apply the same reasoning. They've given you facts and information that perhaps you were unaware of, but we still have the same issues. And you can declare for a state judge, you can declare unconstitutional under state grounds of cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay. All right. And the Attorney General is the only office that would have standing to appeal this. If a death penalty advocacy group wanted to get the higher court to rule on this, would there be a mechanism for them to do that?
No, it's strictly up to the Attorney General at this point.
Okay. Well, yep. I want to thank you very, very much and ask you just to stay in line real briefly after I go to commercial.
Okay.
I want to talk to you off the air, but thank you very much, Gil Garcetti.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it very, very much. You got on KM, it's Radio Without the Rules, 48 minutes after 4 o'clock, and we'll be right back.
I'm Jennifer McMahon.